The story of Jonah has been called a whale of a tale, but the book that bears the prophet's name gives us insight into how we are to share God's message with the people who are different from us today. Dr. Rex Rogers of Sat7 joins us to talk about it on Encouragement Live.
Welcome to Encouragement Live, providing biblically based encouragement and insight on a wide range of practical life issues. Now here's your host, Don Hawkins, author of Master Discipleship Today.
Thank you, Steve. And friend, it's so good to have you with us as live from studios located in First Christian Church of Wiley, Texas. Encouragement Communications presents Encouragement Live. Our mission is to provide biblically based encouragement and insight. And tonight, the only authentic source of hope in the world is the gospel of Jesus Christ. But so many of the people in the world today are different from us. How do we go about taking the gospel to them when we have trouble understanding or communicating with them? Joining us to talk about it is Dr. Rex Rogers. He is the president of Sat7. He's the former president of Cornerstone University. He's the author of a number of books, including Christian Liberty, Living for God in a Changing Culture, and Gambling, Don't Bet on It. Those books available on Amazon. And Rex, it's always great to have you on the program.
Thanks, Don. Glad to be here.
And understand that the weather has warmed up in Michigan, where you are, and unlike some parts of the Gulf Coast, things are beginning to be a little more moderate there.
Yeah, here in lower Michigan, we actually have melting, so we'll see.
Well, we didn't have any snow in Dallas, but we sure had some cold temperatures. Yesterday was the first day above freezing in a few days. So we're going to talk a little bit about the pagan city of Nineveh, the capital of ancient Near Eastern Assyria. The empire was the epicenter of antagonism toward Israel. Jonah was called of God to preach to the people of Nineveh. But Jonah had other ideas or attitudes, and in contemporary terms, fear, bias, prejudice, maybe racism. Jonah would prefer that God would destroy Nineveh rather than save them. Rex, I love the way you put that together. But what is our biblical mandate? Is it to go to those who are like us, people that we can relate to, or is it different from that?
Well, no, we know the Great Commission from Matthew 28, to go and make disciples of all nations. And we know from the book of Revelations that in heaven someday there will be people from all nations, tongues, and tribes, and kin. So that's kind of exciting. Heaven's going to be the most diverse place we've ever been, to use a contemporary term.
I love that terminology. I'm preaching through the book of Revelation right now. I'll be in chapter 18 tomorrow, one of the most grim passages in the book. But chapter 19 will be a horse of a different color, if you know what I mean, when we get to that chapter. Now, in the Old Testament, especially the book of Deuteronomy, God was rather harsh toward the Canaanites and some of those people. How do we reconcile that with God's command to Jonah about the Ninevites?
Well, I think it's hard sometimes. People that don't want to believe the Bible or don't want to believe in God, one of their criticisms very quickly is, how can there be a loving, holy, righteous God when you read about the God of the Old Testament, where he sends the Israelites in to just literally wipe out entire cities or civilizations? I mean, everybody down to the kids and the animals. Why did he do that? Well, one of the things we need to think about is the fact that those cities existed for hundreds of years. They were extremely wicked. Nineveh was one of those involved in child sacrifice and, of course, sexual perversion. And from time to time, God did demonstrate that he would not be mocked. He even did that with the Israelites during the time of the judges and the kings. When there were bad judges and bad kings, they got themselves into political trouble and were subjugated by other nations.
We're talking tonight about reaching out to people of different origins, different backgrounds, different cultures from ourselves with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The title that Rex has suggested comes right out of the book of Jonah, Should I Not Have Concern for the Great City, Nineveh? God's words and God's word to us, go and make disciples of all nations. You can call us tonight at 855-586-LIFE. We'll be right back.
We are 100 years old.
Dallas Theological Seminary President Dr. Mark Yarbrough on the seminary's motto, Teach Truth, Love Well.
That is what we do. That's our slogan that we use. Obviously, it's preach the word. For all of us, we are called to teach truth and live it out.
To learn more about how Dallas Theological Seminary can equip you for biblically based Christian service, visit dts.edu. That's dts.edu.
Are you looking for family-friendly television or biblical studies with informative programming? Let me introduce you to CrossFlix. From children's cartoons to in-depth studies to inspiring music, CrossFlix is an ever-growing community of broadcasting developed for the family, now available for Roku, Apple TV, Fire Stick, Apple iOS, and Chromecast. Search through our on-demand library with a free trial. CrossFlix. Entertain. Educate. Inspire.
Tonight on Encouragement Live, we're talking about taking the gospel to people who are different from ourselves. That's the mandate of the Great Commission, according to Dr. Rex Rogers. He is the president of SAT7, a great ministry carrying the gospel to people who are different from many of us in North America, people in the Middle East and North Africa, and they are responding amazingly to the gospel on satellite television and through interactive internet programming. And you can learn more about that ministry at sat7usa.org. The number is sat7usa.org to learn more. And Rex, I guess the place we need to begin talking about the story of Jonah being in the belly of not a whale, but a great fish. Is it real? Is it historical? Or is it apocryphal?
Well, I consider it real. I think you interpret the Bible literally in a common sense fashion when it can be stated as such. And there are places where there's clearly metaphors, and there's places in Scripture where hyperbole is used, just like we do in common use of our language. But this is not a parable. This is a historical record. And so Jonah experienced this. And why is it so hard when we think about a sovereign God? If he can create the world, he certainly can create a fish big enough to swallow Jonah and keep him alive for 3 days.
Absolutely, no question about it. And to me, one of the really confirming things about it, Rex, is that Jesus referred to Jonah being in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights, and related that to his own time of being buried between his death and resurrection. So, if you discount the story of Jonah as being historical, then in reality, you're discounting the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, that's part of the problem. And again, people like to get in and say, well, the flood wasn't real, or any number of other miracles of Scripture. But again, we're talking about the sovereign God of the universe. And it's an even greater miracle that he sent his son, that he cared enough for us, that you and I can be saved from our sin today and eternally because of his sacrifice and resurrection. That's a miracle.
Yeah, and one of the questions we ought to address tonight, does God still perform miracles today?
Well, I think he does, and there's a lot of debate about that and probably different Christian experiences. One of the ones that I like to think about and from time to time hear about are saints of God, Christians who are on their deathbed, as we say, who are with family, and they'll wake up after being maybe asleep for days or hours. They'll smile, they'll see something at the end of the bed, then maybe sometimes they comment, and then not long after that, they're gone. You know, and I really do believe that God provides his saints with a view into heaven and blesses them in that way, and he does do it every time with every individual, and you're not more spiritual if that happened to you, but I think God does do that according to his promise and providence, and that's certainly a miracle. Yeah. We can talk about the miracle of health being restored.
Yeah.
As I mentioned earlier, the miracle of salvation in Christ.
A lot of miracles, and maybe you've experienced miracles tonight in your life. Our number toll-free is 855-586-5433. Our focus is not on miracles as much as it is on the implications of the miracle that happened to Jonah. Reaching to people different from us. Give us a call on Encouragement Live. Crossflix, a complete multimedia platform at your fingertips, featuring faith-based movies and shows for the whole family, plus an amazing library of interactive online Bible courses such as Jerusalem, the Eternal City, and Revealing the Secrets of the Hebrew Bible.
You'll have access to your own community and join others on their spiritual journey. You may join as an individual or as a church and develop connections like never before.
Crossflix has partnered with the Seal Future Foundation and Bless IL to support brave American and Israeli military veterans and their families suffering from trauma. The relationship between the U.S. and Israel is a long-standing one of strength and divine connection, and one that must continue to be nurtured.
When you join Crossflix, you'll see firsthand the amazing work you'll help support, providing encouragement and hope to American and Israeli veterans and families.
Crossflix.com. Educate, entertain, and inspire.
Sat7 is satellite Christian television.
Dr. Rex Rogers, president of Sat7.
We broadcast throughout the Middle East and North Africa every day, 24/7, in Arabic, Farsi, and Turkish. Farsi is Iran. So we're speaking in the people's home and heart language. We're sharing the gospel.
To learn more or support this ministry, visit sat7usa.org. That's S-A-T, the number 7, USA.org.
Toni King on her new book, The Maze of Medicare.
I looked up on the internet how many books have biblical in regards to Medicare, and there was zero. And then God brought you into my life, and you helped me write The Maze of Medicare because we took Medicare and put scripture with it. Because people are stressed. They don't know what to do, where to turn.
You can order The Maze of Medicare at TonySays.com. That's T-O-N-I, TonySays.com. So good to have you with us tonight, friend, on Encouragement Live as we talk about taking the gospel to people who are different from ourselves. The toll-free number is 855-586-5433. That's 855-586-LIFE. Maybe you have some questions about how to communicate with a neighbor who comes from a different culture, a different background. Maybe they speak with an accent that's hard to understand, and you'd like to talk about that. Or maybe you've done some work in a foreign country ministering and have some questions about that. We're talking with Dr. Rex Rogers. Want to encourage you to pray for our ministry team here. We have Rodney and Danny and Chris and Bailey working with us tonight, a number of our staff not here. Pray for Brad and Nikki, especially as they're going through some health issues. Pray for Keith, and we appreciate very much your prayers for us and for this ministry. And pray for Rex and the people of Sat 7. Rex, some of your people are in parts of the world that they live in sort of a dangerous time, dangerous place.
Well, certainly those in Lebanon have been concerned until most recently with the seeming ceasefire. We'll see how long that lasts. We pray that it does, and return of the hostages from Hamas and Gaza. But we have people in the Holy Land. We have people in Lebanon. We have people in Egypt and throughout the Middle East. But the ones in Beirut are the ones we've been most concerned about more recently. But again, God's protected them, and they continue to do their work and broadcast Christian hope throughout the Middle East and North Africa.
Information on that at sat7usa.org. Again, that's sat7usa.org. Pray for that ministry. Pray about supporting that ministry. And speaking of praying for people, Rex, I think it appropriate that we pray for people in California and in North Carolina. And I certainly appreciate the fact that our president has taken the time, and he and his wife have gone to both North Carolina, which where a lot of people seem to have forgotten the disasters that happened there, and then to California as well, and as well as praying for people in Israel and the Middle East and these hostages being released.
Well, I agree. And presidents are, you know, they're consolers in chief.
Yeah.
And various ones do a better job at that than others do. But I think that was a good move on this new president's part, and especially take his wife with him. There's a lot of hurting women out there, ladies. I think that was a key part of it. And, you know, let's find out now what can they do? You know, how they can do it, how can they speed up recovery?
Right. And let's just take a moment to pray for them. Heavenly Father, thank you that you understand what people in North Carolina and even in Florida, as well as in California, have been going through these disasters. And thank you that the president and his wife have reached out and others have reached out to them. And Lord, I think of the work that Franklin Graham and his ministry and others did in the Carolinas there. Lord, we do pray for those people. And I pray especially tonight for those individuals in Israel. There are four new hostages released and others who could be, and we pray that that would take place. But Lord, we ask you to bring peace to Jerusalem, as you've told us to pray for. And we thank you that we have a responsibility to reach out to people who are different from us. And we thank you for opportunities and privileges that we've had to do that. And we ask you tonight to use this program to motivate us to that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Rex, we talked about the fact that Jonah's story is historical. So does the historical story of Jonah teach us that we can run away from God successfully?
Well, Jonah certainly didn't pull it off.
Right.
he got into a storm, and of course the guys threw him overboard at his insistence, which is an interesting story in itself. And then the fish, they're out in the middle of the Mediterranean somewhere.
Yeah.
The fish comes along and saves his life. He would have drowned. And you think it's awful to be in the belly of the fish. No one wants to contemplate that. But somehow it was a fish that swallowed him and, didn't chomp him up. It's not a shark. And he was able to pray during that time and call out. And God, in his mercy, caused this fish not to just burp him up out in the middle of the ocean or sea somewhere. But the fish came over to land. Now, how did the fish know to do that? It's another miracle.
Yeah,
that God instructed the fish to do it that way. And then here's this bedraggled Jonah who finds himself on a beach somewhere. And, okay, now he's gotten God's message. It's time to respond.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite accounts in Scripture. I've preached through Jonah on several occasions in the pastorate, and I've enjoyed that. And we had Dr. Mark Yarbrough on the program last fall, I believe it was, talk about he's written a book titled Jonah, A Tale of a Whale. That's where I got that phrase from. It's actually Mark came up with that. But it's amazing, Rex, we think about it, and I appreciate the focus that you've put on the fact that this gives us a lesson in terms of taking the gospel to people who are different from ourselves. What kind of lessons can we learn from the prayer that Jonah prayed in the belly of the great fish?
Well, if you let me reflect back a minute on memories back in my days in the Christian college, university setting, good kids that show up there, Christian families, and the kids themselves are believers.
Yeah.
But many of them would come, even with that kind of background. They were largely theologically illiterate. They know the Bible, and they could tell you stories like Daniel in the lion's den, or they could tell you the story of Jonah in the belly of the big fish, but they couldn't tell you what it meant for them today. And
yeah.
That's the whole point of Scripture, is the application today. So you can learn about the sovereignty of God. You can learn about that God won't be mocked. You can't run away from God. There's no place you can hide from him. You can learn about the mercy and grace of God to first Jonah and then eventually to this wicked city of Nineveh. That Jonah was right when he looked at the Nineveh and thought, man, these are bad news people, evil people, enemies of Israel. But God, in his providence, said, no, we're going to preach the gospel, preach to them. And they responded. The Ninevites responded. And, of course, that upset Jonah. He would rather God have just nuked them than gotten it over with. And I think sometimes we feel that way about people in the Middle East, people that, we don't agree with theologically and otherwise. And, sometimes you think, wow, why don't we just pull the plug? The world would be better off without these people.
Yeah.
That's not how God thinks.
Right. And you've made the point, Rex, many times when you and I have been on together, that we need to pray for example, people who are involved in Hamas and Hezbollah and leaders in Iran and in Afghanistan and places like that. And that's the ministry to which God has called you and the people who are standing with you at SAT-7.
Well, it is, and they're, the Taliban is still the Taliban. They
yeah.
still do Taliban things. And now we have in our country things like Trinidad Aragua, the Venezuelan gang, and there's some others, I'm sure. These are bad dudes, you know, but they're still human beings when you get right down to it. And if my grandpa was here who lived in that era, he could tell us about, hey, how they felt about the Nazis, and for that matter, the Japanese at that point. And then how do you pray? How do you pray for enemies that you're in the midst of a, you know, a world war? But still, came right down to it. They're human beings, and God worked during that time, and he's working during our time.
Good thing for us to remember. Again, our toll-free number, 855-586-5433. If you'd like to reach out to us, we'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to learn more about Sat-7, the incredible ministry they are having to people in the Middle East and North Africa, the place to go on the web is sat7usa.org. And we're talking about Jonah. And let's talk about the fact that God prepared, the sovereignty of God involved in that. And frequently in the book, Rex, and I know you've noticed this when you've been teaching it and back in your college days, president of the college days, God prepared a fish and God prepared a storm and God prepared several things that happened when Jonah finally reached Nineveh. So the sovereign hand of God is a big part of that, isn't it?
It is throughout, and even his patience with Jonah. First of all, why did he choose Jonah? There's no record in Scripture. The book of Jonah, by the way, is only four chapters. You know that. Very short chapters. I encourage everybody to go back and reread them. And the verse we talked about, should I not have concern for that great city, God asking that question, that's the last verse, chapter 4, verse 11. And so God chooses Jonah, who is himself a boatload of problems. He's not the Apostle Paul in terms of his behavior and attitudes. And yet God in his grace and his sovereignty chose Jonah. So Jonah goes and finally does what he's supposed to. He preaches God to the and forgiveness to the people of Nineveh. And amazingly, they respond. They respond in vast numbers to the point where Jonah, as I said, is upset about this. And God, again, in his sovereign teaching in the last couple of chapters of the book, has another illustration I won't get into here, but he teaches Jonah again about, hey, why we ought to care, why he cares, and the number of babies in that city that didn't even have, you know, a rationality to choose one way or the other.
Yeah.
Number of animals that were innocent in that city. I always think it's interesting that God included that in reference to animals.
And
about animals, too.
Yeah, and the babies thing sort of gives us a lesson today about people who haven't reached the age of accountability and the question about, you know, infants and young children, even people who haven't been able to come to that age of accountability, or even people who are mentally challenged in our day and time can't understand the gospel. God has a heart for those people as well.
It is, and God, I've used this phrase twice before, I'll use it one more time, of God not being mocked, that God did exercise grace contrary to Jonah's desires in Nineveh.
Yeah, good
but
point.
But if you read history, not in the Bible, but if you read history and dig deeper, Nineveh went back to its old ways within 100 years, a couple generations.
Yeah.
And eventually, Nineveh was wiped out by the Babylonians 100 years or so after Jonah had walked through the city. So they didn't, you know, a generation or two learned the lesson, and then they walked away from the Lord.
855-586-5433, our toll-free number. Let's talk, Rex, about maybe some of the ways Jonah's response was inappropriate or maybe suspect.
Excuse me.
Yeah, well, give you a break there. Yeah.
Jonah,
go ahead.
You know, Jonah didn't immediately respond with obedience. Of course, he ran. He ran to the sea. He grabbed the first boat that was going out, and then we already told that story, what happens to him. And God brings him back. God could have, you know, cut him off, written him off, let him die at sea, and chosen someone else. Could have chosen someone else in the first place. And again, there's no record in Scripture that Jonah, even after the four chapters, even after he's been taught in the illustrations, that he ever even actually changed his mind and attitude about the people of Nineveh. That's really curious and interesting. It's a fascinating book to understand how God's working, not only his long-suffering toward the people of Nineveh, but toward Jonah, his spokesperson.
We're talking tonight about taking the gospel to people different from ourselves. Our toll-free number is 855-586-5433. Dr. Rex Rogers is with us. We'll be right back.
There are only two ways that your affairs will be settled after you pass away. Your way or the government's way. For anyone without a will or trust in place, the government will settle it through probate. So we must all ask ourselves, do I want the government to decide how my minor children get their inheritance and where my assets go, and then charge my heirs probate and court fees to make that happen? Or do I want to protect my family from probate and steward the resources that God has entrusted to me by determining how the assets that I leave behind will be used? Find out what you need to know and do to protect your heirs at a free webinar with His Faithful Stewards. This free webinar will discuss wills and trusts and help you understand it all. Go to HisFaithfulStewards.com and find the link for webinars. There's a place there under webinars where you can sign up. That's HisFaithfulStewards.com and the link to webinars. HisFaithfulStewards.com.
When you need to consider independent or assisted living or memory care for a parent or spouse, Restoration Senior Living provides a distinctly Christian setting with the most stringent quality care. Restoration's innovative program addresses the medical, emotional, and spiritual dimensions, leading to an enhanced quality of life. You can learn more at RestorationSL.com. That's RestorationSL.com.
For over 30 years, Don Hawkins has provided radio encouragement with a variety of gifted guests. Now you can be encouraged by these interviews with guests like Greg and Aaron Smalley, Dan Cathy, Dr. Frank Minrith, Josh McDowell, and more. Subscribe to the weekly Encouragement for You podcast, dropping Wednesdays at lifeaudio.com or at your favorite podcast app.
Welcome back to Encouragement Live. Our toll-free number is 855-586-LIFE. Here again is your host, Don Hawkins, author of Master Discipleship Today.
And let's go to the phones now. Larry has been waiting patiently in Ohio tonight. Larry, you're on the air with us. Go right ahead, please.
Yes, thank you. My question is, so many wars going on, so many people that's not heard the gospel, heard about Jesus Christ. Now, they've never been taught. What will happen to those people? Will they be able to go to heaven or will they be lost?
So glad you raised that question, Larry. I think that's one of the most important questions for us to understand. And Rex, I know you've addressed that question on probably a number of occasions. So go ahead.
Well, my understanding of Scripture is that, yes, if you don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are lost and will be lost. Now, the world hasn't ended. And those people that you've referred to, that Larry's referred to, and that we can all think about, they're still breathing. And as long as they're breathing, they have that opportunity to respond to who God is. And that's, of course, the expectation, I won't call it pressure, but the opportunity for us as believers to express the Great Commission, to get the word out as quickly and as thoroughly as we can, as effectively in honoring God. But then it's also up to the Lord to draw them to himself and for people to be able to make that choice. There's only one unpardonable sin, in my understanding, and that is rejection of the Lord.
Yeah, and I think, Rex, and I've heard this said by missiologists, people that study world missions, that God has on many occasions brought people to share the gospel with groups of people who had never heard the gospel, might never hear the gospel, and that when people respond to whatever light they have, that God will bring them additional light. Maybe you could comment on that.
Well, I think that's, again, the potential, and whether that happens at different times. And we don't know when the Lord's going to return. We don't know always God's will of why he does certain things. We know he knows why. But it is our responsibility always to live out the faith, to trust God, to look to him for leadership and his sovereignty and express hope in him, and share the truth of who his son is with anybody who needs to hear and will listen, and that's all of us.
And we can be involved in a number of ways by sharing the gospel with relatives, with friends, with people we know. We can also be involved in supporting ministries like Sat7 and praying for those ministries as they reach out to people who are different from us. So, Larry, I appreciate your question tonight. You've reminded us again, Scripture says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And Jesus also said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. Thanks for calling us, Larry. Great to hear from you.
Thank you.
God bless. 855-586-5433. Cornelius is listening in Louisiana over American Family Radio. Evening, Cornelius.
Hey there, Don and Rex, and boy, I really enjoy you. And Chris, I tell you, y'all are some good people on Encouragement Live. I want to thank everybody praying for us, of course, praying for California and the fires. In New Orleans, they got 10-plus inches. They're just thawing out, but we thawed out here in Alexandria about Thursday or Friday. So I just want to thank y'all for that. And on Monday will be National Holocaust Day, so all the churches need to pray for the Jews, pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Yes.
I'm like y'all, Hebrews 9:27, once to die, then the judgment. So I'm glad y'all give us Bible verses. I was telling Chris that a lot of, you know, the vets and stuff, and I'm a vet too, they just don't seem like they care too much about us. And I saw where that vet in San Antonio, he didn't kill those cops, but he wanted to be killed by cops. And you know what happened in New Orleans on the 1st,
yes.
And then that guy in Las Vegas. So we need to pray for our vets and stuff too, because they go through a whole lot of horrible stuff. But about Jonah, when the Lord tells you to do something, you better do it, or else he's going to send you all kind of ways. And the Lord had put on my mind when I was little, I should have been a preacher, y'all, but I wanted to do my way, highway.
Yeah.
I'm 64. January the 5th, I made 64. So I'm going to start in the ministry now. And I just believe we're in the end times, and this AI they're going to put in Texas and here in Louisiana, I call it the Antichrist intelligence. So I hope people be ready for it.
Well, let's lead us in prayer. I'll get Rex to lead us in prayer for you, Cornelius, as you shift into ministry. And Rex, it's never too late, and Jonah's an evidence of this. It was not too late for him to turn around and go in the direction God called him to go, even after he'd run in the different direction.
Absolutely not. And Cornelius, appreciate your heart. Let me pray for you. Father God, we thank you that we can come before you in prayer at any time, any place, for anyone. And though we've not met Cornelius, we appreciate his heart for you. Ask your blessings upon him there in Louisiana and his fellow citizens in the area that are dealing with a type of precipitation that they're not used to. And pray that you protect lives on the highways and otherwise. And Father, we thank you for how we know you'll intervene and somehow you'll turn to good the bad things that we've seen happen and through disasters, whether hurricanes and in the eastern states or whether the fires, the awful fires in California. Lord, we know that you're not surprised. We know that you're still at work. You know, we know you'll draw people to yourself even through these kinds of tragedies and experiences. Father, again, we thank you for Cornelius's desire to minister and trust to give him wisdom about next steps and the ability to do well that you've called him to do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Cornelius, always good to hear from you. Thanks for calling us.
God bless y'all.
And you as well. 855-586-5433. That frees up a line if you'd like to give us a call tonight. We're talking with Dr. Rex Rogers. Rex is the president of Sat7, their web address, sat7usa.org. That's S-A-T, the number 7, the letters USA.org. Rex, are there still some people or people groups today that God has called us to reach that maybe we're still resisting because of attitudes toward those people?
I don't know if we're resisting in terms of attitudes, although that can happen, I think, in
even in large religious groupings, Christians and Muslims, for example, because things happen, and it's rightly perhaps assigned or blamed on given representatives or adherents of these religions, and then we think everybody in that religion, you know, fits that category. They're all terrorists or something like that. Yeah. So, you know, natural fear, but there's also an openness, and there are more Muslims coming to Christ, more Muslims that are hungry and searching the word in the Middle East and North Africa than any time that we know of in the last 700 or 800 years.
Always,
and that's based on historical research and from missiologists, not just a guess.
Yeah, and you guys have numbers to back that up as well. And Rex, I always enjoy some of the stories that you share with us about people who've come to Christ because of the ministry of Sat 7.
Well, they do. We hear from people every week because we hear more and more online, of course, as opposed to, you know, through apps and what have you, as opposed to phones and emails like it used to be. And when we hear prayer requests, which you'd expect that. We hear people saying, hey, the Taliban has stepped into my office, my home, my area, or I'm a woman in this area in Afghanistan. I'm not allowed to go to school now. Pray for us. We fear for our lives, or as believers, we're worshiping in secret churches, like Brother Andrew used to call them. And it's, you know, all they have are these virtually uncensorable broadcasts that Sat7 is able to send out in 24 countries in the Middle East and North Africa. And, you know, Afghans that are working and worshiping, as is said, in secret house churches, all they have is a Sat7 TV. Well, if they have that, then at least they have some access, you know, to the truth. So we're constantly looking for ways that we can reach out. We're talking now, by the way, Sat7, of reaching out in Tajikistan to the Tajik people, and the language there is similar to Farsi in Iran, and that's the language, Persian and Farsi language is what we produce most of our programs in for Iran, but people in Tajik can understand many of those programs, if not most, just like the people in Afghanistan who speak Dari because they're dialects of Farsi. So we're beginning to kind of reach out further and touch more people just for the power of the coverage of the satellite. And they're hungry. They're open. Mm. Sometimes they have to do it in secret, but they're asking what we call existential questions. You know, does God exist? Does he know I'm here? Does he care? You know, why did I survive this disaster? They're asking this in California. Why did I survive this disaster and my mother didn't? You know, those questions are real in the wake of loss. And that's why I think we pray for the churches in Southern California that are doing an active work right now.
Yeah, no question about that. We need to lift those folks up before the Lord and to pray for these people in the Middle East and North Africa and for the people in Tajikistan, if I can say that correctly. Again, they speak the Dari version of Farsi. Is that correct?
They speak Tajik. But it, like Dari over in Afghanistan, it's a dialect of Farsi. So they can understand the Iranian-based television program.
And by far, Arabic is probably the biggest language that you guys program.
Absolutely. Probably, I'd say 60% of the people of the Middle East, 24 countries, speak Arabic. Now they speak different versions of Arabic, just like Jamaican English is different from ours and how that goes. But for the most part, we can understand each other.
Yeah,
but yes, it's Arabic, and the Arab world, of course, they're watching with fear and trepidation and concern the whole Holy Land conflict that draws in Egypt particularly to see some kind of something come out of that, some kind of what's a just peace look like? I don't know. Only God knows.
Yeah,
but we do know we want the hostages to be returned alive and immediately. And to see that kind of happen. And then there is the destruction of Gaza. And how do we're talking about rebuilding L.A. and Pacific Palisades. How do we rebuild Gaza?
A lot of questions there raised. If you'd like to call us and talk about it, 855-586-5433.
We are at a time when our society is falling apart, and we must cling to the cross of Christ. The Witness webcast is a production of Crucible of Faith Ministries, And here, you will find sound teaching and expert commentary that will anchor you on the finished work of Christ at Calvary. Visit us today at www.crucibleoffaith.ca and find the answers you will need for such a time as ours today. That's www.crucibleoffaith.ca.
What do Chuck Swindoll, David Jeremiah, and Erwin Lutzer have in common? They all trained to preach God's Word at Dallas Theological Seminary, and you can train at DTS too. If you've been called to preach or teach God's Word, find a degree or course that's right for you on one of our campuses or online at dts.edu. Dallas Theological Seminary, where they teach truth and love well. Visit dts.edu.
The older people grow, the more important it is that they have savings that are not at risk in the stock market.
Here's an important warning from Roxanne Intermule of HisFaithfulStewards.com.
I've seen many people in their 50s that have all their savings still in a 401k or some other market-based account that is fully at risk of loss.
Roxanne and her team offer practical financial counsel to people from all age groups.
It could be that they need to start saving for the future in retirement, or maybe they've already done those things and they just need to be good managers of what God's given them and get their money to where it can grow well but won't be at risk of loss in the stock market. Or maybe they need to get a will or a trust in place to protect their family from the cost and stresses of probate.
You can schedule a free and confidential time to talk with Roxanne at her website, HisFaithfulStewards.com. Just follow the links on the website to set a good time to talk, or you may call the office to set a time. That's HisFaithfulStewards.com. So glad you've joined us tonight on Encouragement Live as we talk tonight with Dr. Rex Rogers, the president of Set7, the website for them, set7usa.org. And David has been waiting patiently online. Go ahead, David. Good to have you with us. Go ahead.
Hey, you guys doing all right?
Yes, sir. Good to hear from you.
Well, it's funny you guys were talking about Jonah earlier, and I hate to go backwards, but he was on my mind today as well. I was thinking about how Jesus and his disciples, you know, were in the boat during the storm, and he calmed the seas, you know.
Yeah.
Well, my question is this. Where did Jonah find his peace when he was asleep in the bottom of the boat when he was during the storm? Because, you know, I know when I'm disobeying God, you know, sleep is hard to come by. You know what I mean?
You know, David, you bring up a good point. I'd love to hear from you, Rex, on that question. He did fall asleep in the bottom of the boat there.
I don't know. I wish we could ask Jonah.
Well, maybe we'll get... I think Jonah will be in heaven, even though he was a disobedient prophet. So, David, to put that on your list of one of the first things to do when you get to heaven. Say, Jonah, how in the world did you fall asleep in the bottom of that boat?
Well, I mean, you can speculate that he was so hardened in his heart toward the Lord that he wasn't thinking about the Lord. It was more he just was exhausted in his running from God, and that was it. God's promise allowed
him to fall asleep.
Everybody
was disobedient.
David was disobedient. A lot of people, you know, they get callous, their heart gets hard. And, you know, when God's working on somebody and their heart is open to the Lord, they tend to be, you know, things bother them, things weigh on them. But if somebody's away from the Lord, David, then that may be a situation where they rebel against God and they just, their heart becomes callous in a way.
Yeah, I would think so. I know because you guys did mention, you know, he was kind of like an unlikely guy to choose, you know, to witness. And it does seem like it's some reason there why he was chosen.
Well, and no question that God knew in his sovereignty what was going on in Jonah's mind. And I remember years ago, Dr. Leslie Madison was a member of a church I was senior pastor of. And at the time, he was the president of Calvary Bible College and had him come in preach a series on the book of Jonah. And his deal was, what was Jonah's problem? And his point was, he felt that Jonah's problem was self-pity, that throughout the book of Jonah, all the way from the time that God called him to go and he ran away, even chapter 4, when God reminded him at the very end that, you know, I love these people. I have a right. I should have concern for this great city. They're over 120,000 people. They can't tell their right hand from their left hand. That Jonah was worried about the shade from the gourd and the gourd that was missing, that he was feeling sorry for himself. Any thoughts on that, Rex?
Well, I think that's the case. Again, I don't know what Jonah, how he responded to the Lord and what he did the rest of his life. I mean, we'd like to think he became a vigorous prophet and maybe a preacher in Nineveh for all we know, but he might not.
That might explain the short book. I don't know.
Yeah, that very well could. In fact, yeah, one of the things I like to say about Jonah, it's a book that doesn't really have an ending. And when we had Mark Yarborough on the program, he said the same thing. He said, Jonah really doesn't have an ending. It just kind of, in a sense, leaves us hanging. So I guess
it kind of fades away, yeah.
Yeah. We get to heaven, as Paul Harvey would say, we'll get the rest of the story.
Right.
Yeah. Rex, would you lead us in prayer for David?
I'll do that. David, thanks for calling in. Father God, we thank you for David's thoughts and insights about Jonah. Help us understand what you were about and to learn from it, to apply it to ourselves today. Father, we thank you for this book, this historical record. We thank you for your mercy upon Nineveh, and we trust, Lord, you help us to be testimonies of that today, ambassadors for Christ today, of your work in our time. And, Lord, we thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, David. Good to hear from you. God bless.
All right. Y'all take care.
You bet. 855-586-5433. Talking with Dr. Rex Rogers about taking the gospel to people different from ourselves. And, Rex, sometimes that involves taking, but sometimes we can take the gospel to people through our intercessory prayer and also through our generosity and our giving. Talk about those two ways to take the gospel to people who are different from ourselves.
Well, I mean, there are some people who, a lot of people who can't travel, but they can pray. And we talk about prayer warriors and how important they are as pillars of the local church. But praying for missions, praying for international missions, and the testimony of the church today. We have a situation in our own country. There's a lot of debate, political issues around illegal immigrants or immigrants, undocumented, whatever phrase you want to use. They're here. Now, whether they should be and all the politics of that, we can set that aside and say, look, they're human beings who can pray that we need to reach them for Christ, whether they remain here or they go back to their own country. And there are ministries that are trying to do that. We can pray for them and give toward that. And giving is always helpful to any Christian ministry. You know, it's money for the mission, as they say.
Yeah.
And it's money that can be given. My wife and I had a conversation today about an individual that just seemed to be made one wrong decision after another and consequently was always asking people, including us, for money. And this person got themselves into deeper and deeper difficulty. But finally, you come to a point, and it's like a tough love, and you say, look, we can't finance a bad lifestyle and bad choices. And the flip side of that is that there are plenty of places where we can give our money that we trust, our local church, you know, the mission agency, SAT-7 being one. You know how the money is going to be used for the glory of God. And so you can give money for the mission. So I think those are all very important ways in which people are engaged and can be involved, even if they're not the ones on, quote, the front line. They're not the one maybe able to travel or to serve in quite the same way as some can. I think there's different times and chapters of our lives as we get older. You know, God opens up new opportunities and different opportunities.
Right. Well, you and I both do a good deal of travel. You go to the Middle East and that area, and I've been to India several times, been to Africa, and it's wonderful to do that. But again, we can help to subsidize those ministries through intercessory prayer and through giving, and I strongly recommend people consider and maybe even consider talking with SAT-7 about your estate planning and that sort of thing. Rex, that's another thing that you guys do, and you have a man who does that sort of thing with people.
We do. In fact, we have a relationship with another Christian agency that people's wills and family trusts can be set up for free. There's no charge, and it's all confidential. I certainly don't see or know anything about any of it. And there's only our one fellow who, you know, helps that agency work with us, the attorneys, to get it done. My wife and I did this about 3 years ago. We updated a 30-year-old's will and established a family trust, and it was a great experience, and I highly recommend it to anybody.
Again, sat7usa.org. Let's talk to Holmes listening tonight in North Carolina. Go ahead. You're on the air with us.
I turned on the radio and I heard somebody talking about the Bible, and boy, I heard some stuff. I said, oh my goodness, they can't be for real. Okay, two things. Remember a woman in the Bible called Mary Magdalene, and the Bible said she had seven devils in her, and Jesus Christ cast seven devils out?
Yes.
Okay, also Mark chapter 9, there was a father crying with tears, and his child had devils in him. And he brought the child to Jesus Christ, said, Lord, if you can do anything, cast these evil spirits and devils out of my child. You know what Jesus said to that father? He said, how long your child been in this condition? He said, ever since he was a child. Okay, then here's the last thing. One of your callers says, what about the people that have not heard the gospel, and are they still going to go to hell or go to heaven or something like that? The answer is there in the Bible. Where you're going to find that answer is, you're going to find it in Romans chapter 1 and chapter 2. Romans chapter 1, where the Bible says to the Jews first and also the Gentiles.
You know, you're absolutely right. It also says that in Romans chapter 3, Rex, because there it says that the whole world is condemned and all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that's the reality of why every single person needs to come to faith in Jesus Christ.
Well, agreed. And John, or Don, you mentioned earlier in the program, God's not willing that any should perish. It's not his desire.
Right.
He wants all to come to faith in Christ. But we recognize that's not going to happen with everybody because they make their choices. But as long as they're breathing, there's hope.
And tonight, as we come to the end of our program in Holmes, I'm glad you brought this up. We may have somebody listening, and you have not yet come to the place where you've trusted Christ. And I want to give you four words to think about tonight. Sin. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Penalty for sin is death. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. But the good news, the gift of God is eternal life. The penalty has been paid, and that's Romans 5:8. So trust Jesus Christ. And friend, if you tonight have not yet come to the place where you have trusted Christ as your Savior, I want to encourage you right now, where you are, to say, Lord Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself. I believe you died for me and rose again, and I'm placing my trust in you. And if you will do that, God will save you, and we'd love to hear from you. You can reach out to us through encouragementlive.org. You can reach out to Rex through sat7usa.org, and we'd love to put some materials in your hand that would help you to understand what it means to know and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Holmes, thank you for calling us tonight. Rex, I think that's a great note for us to end up on. God does use imperfect people like Jonah to reach others with the gospel, does he not?
I think that's one of the key messages of that book.
Yeah, no question about that. God does use imperfect people. And Jonah is a great lesson for us about God's mercy and God's grace. Once again, remind us of that last verse in the book of Jonah, Rex.
God says to Jonah, said, should I not be concerned for that great city? And we can ask that today. Should we not be concerned for that great region of the Middle East and North Africa, or that great country we call the United States of America?
No question about it. Rex, thank you so much. And friend, thank you for joining us for Encouragement Live. For each of us, I'm Don Hawkins. Good night from Encouragement Live.